Today is Friday, November 15th. Good morning from the Civic Media News Desk. I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin's court system faces a case backlog and attorney shortage. State Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler raised both issues during her State of the Judiciary address this week. Ziegler said some counties have actually increased their backlog. The felony backlog currently stands at about 12,000 cases, which is a slight increase from where the courts were this time last year. Ziegler said a pool of reserve judges is helping address the backlog, but a shortage of attorneys contributes to that problem, particularly in rural counties. A 2021 state bar report found 7 counties with no attorneys. Ziegler said access to justice is seriously compromised when members of the public who are exercising their constitutional right to be represented by counsel with an attorney cannot obtain one. The DOJ released its annual crime report. The report shows a total of 765 fentanyl-related cases in 2023, up 84 from 2022. Attorney General Josh Call is asking the state legislature to invest in crime labs to improve staffing for these cases. Call says the state crime labs are essential to protecting public safety and ensuring criminal investigations and prosecutions lead to justice. The AG says DOJ has made enhancements in technology at the crime labs, which should improve the way cases are tracked. DOJ typically releases its annual report in late summer, but it was delayed until this week as the agency dealt with an audit. A new initiative is helping connect local schools and hospitals and creating new opportunities for students. Wisconsin Hospital Association Vice President of Education, Leanne Larson, says the goal is to fill the healthcare workforce pipeline while also creating a pathway for stable careers. Larson says grant money will create HOSA chapters in high schools, which help provide students with opportunities to explore healthcare careers and experiences. 30 local hospitals and 23 high schools are taking part in the program. Newly released estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau's Historical America's Families and Living Arrangements tables show that about 64% of households were classified as family households in 2024. This marks a significant change from 50 years ago when 79% of households were family households. Family households are defined as those that include at least one person related to the householder by birth, marriage, or adoption. In 2024, almost three-quarters, or 74% of family households, were married couple households. Family households that did not include a married couple were more likely to have a female householder than male householder. Among non-family householders, about 52% included a female householder, while 48% had a male householder. A substantial portion of non-family households were homes with someone living alone at 81% in 2024, compared with 89% 50 years ago. The U.S. Census Bureau also reports less than half of U.S. family households include children under 18. About 39% of U.S. family households this year included the householder's children under 18. Family households of age of householder 2024 uses data from the 2024 Current Population Survey to compare characteristics of family households, such as presence of children, family size, family members under 18, and home ownership by the age of the householder. The report shows that children of the householder of any age were most common in family households where the householder was 40 to 45 years old at 84%. Less than 10% of all family households included children under age 3. Just over half, or 52% of all family households, had 3 or more family members. About 57% of family households did not have any family members under age 18, while 19% had 1 member, 16% 2 members, and 9% 3 or more members under 18. And home ownership was more common among older householders. About 37% of householders under age 25 owned their home, compared to nearly 90% of those age 65 or older. A new report from the BBB Institute of Market for Marketplace Trust, the educational foundation of the International Association of Better Business Bureaus and the Association of Military Banks of America, reveals that military consumers, which include service members, military spouses, and veterans, report higher losses to scams compared to the general population. Key findings include higher losses. Based on the BBB Risk Index, military consumers reported a median loss of $196, significantly higher than the $130 reported by all consumers. Online purchase scams were the riskiest scam type for all military consumers, making up 32.3% of the scams reported, with 78.5% reporting a monetary loss. Investment cryptocurrency scams were the riskiest scam for active duty service members, with 70.8% reporting losses. Employment scams were the second riskiest scam type for military spouses and veterans. Military consumers face unique challenges, such as frequent relocations and deployments, which may make them more vulnerable to scams. Military consumers are also more susceptible to employment, home improvement, romance, and government grant scams. The highest median dollar losses were reported from scams initiated in person, by phone, and via text message. Payment methods with the highest losses included wire transfer, check, and cash. Complaints reported by military consumers included: military consumers had slightly more complaints settled via Better Business Bureau compared to all consumers. Car dealerships and home warranty plans received the most complaints, consistently ranking in the top four since 2019. Other impacts reported include 44% of military consumers reporting losing confidence or peace of mind after being targeted by scams. And those who lost money were more likely to report experiencing financial distress, damaged credits, strained relationships, and loss of potential earnings. Attorney General Josh Call has announced a $160,000 settlement with Gunderson Lutheran Administrative Services, Incorporated. The settlement resolves a civil environmental enforcement action against the company for alleged violations of its air pollution control permit and state air pollution control regulations for the company's operation of a wood-fired boiler in La Crosse County. The state's complaint alleges 12 total violations related to a boiler that primarily burns wood waste to produce heat and steam to generate electricity for the Gunderson Lutheran Medical Campus buildings in La Crosse. Four violations allege that the company exceeded its permit's limitations or failed to monitor and notify DNR about the boiler's emissions of carbon monoxide. Three violations allege that the company failed to properly calibrate, maintain, and operate, properly calculate emissions from, or maintain records for a pollution monitoring system. One violation alleges that the company failed to perform required particulate matter emissions testing. Two violations allege that the company failed to submit regular monitoring reports. And two violations allege that the company failed to maintain records about tune-ups and inspections related to the wood-fired boiler. The proposed agreement requires the company to pay a total of $160,000 in forfeitures, surcharges, and court costs. A beloved hippopotamus at the Milwaukee County Zoo is dead. Longtime zoo resident Patty the River Hippopotamus was put to sleep Sunday. Patty recently turned 55, which is considered extremely old for a hippo. Her health had been declining for some time, and she was no longer coming to eat or move from the water like she used to. Vets say Patty was suffering from a severe stomach ailment. The normal lifespan of a hippo in captivity is about 35 years.